Hey, listeners, we're nearing the end of our 15th anniversary fundraising campaign, and we need your help to meet our goal. This campaign offers you a chance to win a unique food and music experience in one of the most exciting cities in America. Here's how it works. Donate to HRN and you'll be entered to win dinner for two and two tickets to a concert in one of eight amazing cities: New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Nashville, Las Vegas, Charleston, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and Asheville. All donations support our work educating food system storytellers. And when you donate, you can choose one of those cities and you'll be entered to win dinner and two tickets to a show. So help us reach our goal and enter to win dinner and a show in the city of your choice. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15. Thank you.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Here we go.
Whoa, Gene Genie.
Yeah, baby. We're all over.
Oh, lives on his back.
He lives on his back.
Mike, you're out.
It's an enviable position.
Mike Edison is outrageous. He screams as he walks. What brings
with,
this on?
With God-given ass.
What brings
that's
this
a different
on?
Song. Well, Pete.
First of all, what's going on? Where are we?
Where are
what
we?
Happened? What happened?
Well, you've been floating in a tin can. You've been floating in a tin can all over Spain in your spaceship,
right?
And the Flesh Tone's just getting back off tour, not only on the Iberian Peninsula but also
Hamtramck, Michigan.
Yes.
Last Sunday, I was in Hamtramck.
And how was Hamtramck?
Hamtramck was beautiful.
It was a joke.
Johnny Hench and the Henchmen.
The Outer Limits Lounge.
They're one of America's national treasure. He let me stand behind his farfisa. Ah, yes.
You still carrying your farfisa out on the road with you?
On stateside, yeah. Stateside, yes. But Johnny Hench has his own with the emblazoned with the Polish eagle. And in Hamtramck, so...
The Polish Eagle.
That's right, the White Eagle. The White Eagle.
You are the Polish Eagle. That's going to be my new name for you.
Pizza
Rumba, the Polish Eagle. I like that.
I'm the Count. Johnny Hench is the Polish Eagle.
I like the Polish Eagle.
Mikey.
Dude, I went to the David Bowie exhibition.
What happened?
At the Brooklyn Museum this week.
I thought we were going to talk about your hangover first.
First things first.
Are you hungover?
It was... well, more like I'm drunk by now. You know what's really good for a hangover? Drinking too much the night before.
That does it. That's great.
Dave, you're slow. Hit that button. That deserved a
The audience
something.
Is going nuts.
There you go. 20 minutes late. Is that my hangover, or was he really like 20 minutes late with the rim shot?
Yeah, it's you.
He's deep. Dave is deep today. I like that.
He thinks he's on the CBS FM Hall of Fame.
I like that. That's
right.
Very
Maybe
nice.
I'll even tell my cousin Bruce's story later.
Wait a second. You haven't introduced the show.
All right.
You haven't introduced the show yet, Mike.
The Milkman's Matinee.
There you go.
That extra hour really bit me in the ass last night. One second it was 1:30 and I was waiting.
He'll get around to introducing the show.
One moment it was 1:30 at night and I was drinking a bottle of Calvados and I was writing incomprehensible notes about today's program.
I see.
And the next thing I knew, it was 3:30 and I was, and the Calvados was gone and I was, the notes were, well, no more comprehensible. But.
You know what? I'll take care of this. Ladies and gentlemen, live from Roberta's in Bushwick, it's Arts and Seizures with
and
your host, Mike Edison.
And it's definitely more seizures than arts today.
Very good.
But
and his amiable sidekick, perennial guest co-host, Count Peter Zaremba.
That's you.
That's right. Here we are. Thank you. We have a very lively studio audience. Mikey, you brought something.
I did. I brought
what
snacks.
What is this?
I brought snacks today.
This is
heritage charcuterie. This is some of the
heritage charcuterie.
Okay, try this pepperoni and tell me.
I hate pepperoni.
What do you mean you hate pepperoni?
It's like for people from Jersey. They put it on
their pizzas.
Try
this. This is going to change your opinion.
They put it on their pizzas.
So what's here is what we have: some salumi, the fennel salami that's from Cesare Casella. It was all from Heritage, and our friend Patrick, and our friends at Heritage Foods
USA. Our good
friend
Patrick at
Heritage
Foods.
And there's some beef salumi, salumi di manza here, which is also incredible. The pepperoni and the beef di manza is made from the Nduja artist in Chicago. I guarantee, try this pepperoni.
I was just in Chicago last weekend, and my good friend, speaking of salamerias, my good friend Ben Gert presented me with a DVD of the Lost Duke Mitchell,
I can't wait.
1980s mafia extravaganza film, Massacre Mafia Style.
Nice.
So we're going to watch that. That's a boys' night out. Marilla refuses to watch it. I'm sure Christine won't watch it. So we're going to watch.
She doesn't want to watch it mafia style.
Massacre Mafia Style.
Maybe if it was Wimbledon style, she'd go for it.
She would go for
it. Massacre Wimbledon style.
Okay, let me try this beefy delight here. Why did you bring this? What happened? Is this from last night?
We had a little dinner party last night.
What do you have last night?
We had a porchetta, which is kind of the Super Bowl of heritage foods.
I love porchetta.
Okay, the thing weighs more than you do. It's
that's one of those
pork belly, just pure fat wrapped around pork tenderloin, and it gets to be crackling at the end. What it is basically, it's like pork toffee. Now tell me that's not the best pepperoni you ever tasted in your life.
I'm not eating the I'm eating the Salomea de Manzo here.
Yeah, you think David Bowie enjoyed a sausage once in a while?
Yeah, I think he had a little pepperoni once in a while.
I think so.
A tiny one.
Think so. We were talking about David Bowie, and I said I went to see the David Bowie exposition.
Why did you do that?
Why did he?
Why did that? Why did you do that, Mike?
Well, because I love David Bowie.
Why do you love?
Because I love David Bowie. Huh? I've always been a David Bowie fan. Okay, so let me tell you, the first time I saw David Bowie, this was one of the first rock concerts I'd ever seen. I was I found the ticket stub. I was actually still only 13. I was
these are delicious.
Not even quite 14.
Right,
okay, And the girl that invited me to see David Bowie was wearing overalls and no shirt or bra underneath. Like, just overalls.
She was a back...
Like, somehow managing to cover, like...
I know that look.
You know that look.
In those days.
It was a great, it was a good look.
It was a good look.
I missed that look. And I have no idea why she invited me to go with her. I mean, I think she was 15, which made her quite older than me. Overalls, no bra, and yet everything perfect. And they brought me to see David Bowie, I think, because even I always had weed on me, probably is the only reason they invited me. Anyway, it was the greatest concert. And here's what happened. I caught a Frisbee at the concert, which is a very big deal in Madison Square Garden when you're at a rock concert in the 70s, you know, through this giant cloud, you know, of pot smoke. And I caught the Frisbee cleanly, much better than, like, you know, hitting a beach ball, you know, or something. I caught the Frisbee and
the crowd erupted.
And I was going to chuck the Frisbee, and I'm a very good chucker at Frisbees. It's one of the five things I do well. I can really wing a Frisbee, and in Madison Square Garden, it's great. It's so much space. But before I did, the guy next to me says, wait. He grabbed the Frisbee from me, and he poured a bunch of, like, white powder on the Frisbee, you know, like mystery dust, which I didn't question. And I snorted it gleefully through, like, you know, a rolled-up bill. It turned out to be some, like, wonderfully pure, like, crystalline methadrine. It was back when meth still had a good name.
Right,
anyway, the lights went down.
Had a great reputation then.
You know, and, well, it fucking rocked my 13-year-old brain. But this was a time when 13-year-olds snorting dust off of Frisbees was not the... Weirdest thing that could ever happen. But it made a very big impression on me going to see David Bowie, and I loved the show at the Brooklyn Museum yesterday. Now, you, of course, are not really the lightning bolt makeup on the face kind of rock star.
I'm not. When I saw those photos when that came out, I was saying, gee, I kind of like this music. It kind of sounds like real music as opposed to what was being played by most groups. But the lightning bolt with the spiked orange hair, and you know,
and why not?
When he first came out and he was wearing the dresses and stuff, you know, I was like, okay, you know, he can wear a dress. He kind of looks like a chick. That's cool, you know. But not that you have to look like a chick to wear a dress.
Weird thing in the exposition was like David Bowie, you know, and Ziggy Stardust, or I don't care, wearing a man dress. So this is what it said in the little placard. Like, what the fuck are they talking about? It's not a man dress, it's a dress. Are they trying to like steer it towards some like heteronormalcy? Yeah.
It's a man dress.
It's a dress, and he looks great in it.
It's a man dress. I like a man dress once.
I thought I looked good in one, I'd do it.
What's that hideous thing, though? That black thing that looks like a gown?
See, that's that haute couture of rock that you fucking can't stand.
But
you know what's fucking worse is fucking Mick Jagger in a football outfit. Like when he decided he had to dress like an NFL player on that fucking tour. Much worse than David Bowie coming out in like something that's like ridiculous and you know, gaudy and really influenced by Dada and Tristan Tzara and all these things. And yes, it's ludicrous and
it is. But
the thing is, David Bowie's in on his own joke. Right. Sometimes Mick Jagger doesn't seem like he gets it.
It's like Andy Kaufman, when he got into the wrestling, he actually went into the ring. So I want to see Jagger on the gridiron.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I want to see him running out there, you know, running around.
Yeah, and singing the ballads on key. So how's that pepperoni? Have you tried the pepperoni?
Okay, let me try pepperoni. You know,
I'm telling you, the pepperoni is great.
Oh, man, is it red? It's the red stuff? Yeah. Is this pepperoni?
Yeah, that's the red thing? No, that's the pepperoni.
Let me try it.
It will not disappoint, I'm telling you. It's not that crap that you get over, you know.
I tell you.
It's not the Maspeth version of
this pepperoni, you know. I gotta say, it tastes good. But you know what? With these pepperonis, there ain't much left of them after you clean them, right?
Yeah, that's what I gotta say about that. So I think we should do a song. We had before you left town.
What about David Flesh Bowie? Tones.
And where were you again? You were in Spain.
I was all over Spain, and then last weekend we were like in Euclid Beach. We did the Get Hip Records party in fabulous Pittsburgh, home of Andy Warhol.
Your friend Andy Warhol.
My friend, my ex friend.
You still regret not going home with him, don't you?
I've changed my mind about that. I should have gone home with him.
I think you should have.
With him and Truman, Bianca.
What were you thinking?
You know what? I didn't want to leave my two friends. Like they were good. They would be too jealous. Is quite frankly, and I didn't have any money in my pocket, you know, to get like
that's okay.
Home, you know, so
I think Andy would have taken good care of you.
Yeah, you think so? He's pretty cheap.
So
Truman was all right though. Truman got me a few gin and tonics.
So in the David Bowie thing, I mean, lots of surprises.
Is this in a museum or something?
So yeah, it's at the Brooklyn Museum. And you know, the weird thing is, like, you know,
that's
I went last
museum.
Year to see it's a fantastic museum.
Fantastic.
And last year, I went to see the Stones exhibition, whatever that thing was called, which was not in a museum. It was, you know, like
I didn't see that either.
But worthwhile. I mean, lots of costumes. I mean, Mick Jagger. You know, lots of designs, costumes in the 70s, the 80s, and fashion. I mean, also fashion and music and art, but not like David Bowie. You know, it's like the Stones thing couldn't play in a museum. The Stones thing had to like be in, you know, an exhibition hall.
Right.
And it was enjoyable, and I like seeing, you know, some guitars and some outfits, and you know, an Alexander McQueen designed this.
Oh yeah,
and,
I like
you know,
Alexander
and this one
McQueen,
was
sure.
influenced by you know this and that. The other thing. It was wonderful, but truthfully, it doesn't belong in a museum where the David Bowie stuff you really feel like it was legit.
It kind of looked like it belonged in a museum to begin with, in a certain way. It was very, you know what I'm saying?
It's so rough when you see it, though. You know, ooh. Like you look at these things, you know, that are actually meant to be seen from a distance,
right?
Like these big stage things. And when
you
get up close,
crappy.
You can sort of see kind of like the cracks, the, you know,
yeah,
you
the
know,
shittiness
and the wrinkles,
the shoddiness.
And you know, and as, especially when there was really no budget in the early days.
Yeah,
anyway, one thing I loved about it was there was this photo shoot. There's a video of him doing a photo shoot.
Yeah,
this had to be like around 2004 or so. Not the young David Bowie, and he was fooling around with a guitar, and he played a little bit of Gene Genie. And he did a few other things. But the song that he really ran through, he loved, was the old Jimmy Reed song, Maybe What You Want Me to Do. So I thought we'd give that.
But you said he did it with a twist. He did it a la.
He just like slammed it. Like Elvis
Presley.
Just slammed it.
Everyone loves Elvis.
So, like,
I love Elvis.
I mean, Bowie famously, too, when he was doing The Man Who Fell to Earth, had this big trunk of books with him that he brought to the set. And you're looking at it, and it's got like some Dostoevsky, and it's got things that you would expect, like some Anthony Burgess and William Burroughs and things. And then there was like the biography of Little Richard.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know.
You know what? He did begin as a rock and roller.
I think the end is a rock and roller too.
I believe I might be.
Anyway, what the hell was that, Dave? All right, so I thought we'd, anyway, I thought, you know, as long as you and I have been playing the blues, I thought here, and David Bowie do the Jimmy Reed song.
Let's do it.
I think this one's going to be added to the set. Here we go. Oh, and by the way, it is Arts and Seizures. You got me running. You got my hiding. You got me run, hide, hide, run any way you want. Let it roll. Yeah. Baby, what you want me to go? I'm going up, I'm going down, I'm going up, down, down, up anywhere you want to let it roll. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta do what you want me, baby, what you want me to do? Come on, Pete. Baby, let her want you to do. Come on, Pete, one more time.
Hey, man, your work's down the drain, Mike.
All right.
Now, I'll tell you a story. Okay.
Cha-cha-cha.
My first job, right? I'm working, my first pay job, I'm working for a big rock and roll impresario here in New York named Ron Delsner. So part of my job, I'm like 16 years old or whatever. I'm standing in his office. He's getting phone calls from all around the world, you know? So anyway, I'm standing there waiting for him to send me with a contract or a check to somebody or whatnot. And I notice on his desk, amidst all the paraphernalia and promo stuff, he's got an advanced copy of a 45 of Suffragette City and Starman, David Bowie.
Nice
now,
one.
I had a picture sleeve, and I recognized David Bowie because he got a little bit of airplay with his Space Oddity. And there was a little bit of a sensation because his first album jacket had him with a dress sprawled on a sofa, and they withdrew it because it was shocking. So I kind of was looking at it, and then Ron Delson's very nervous, sweaty little guy, and he's like, finally looks up and he goes, "Do you want this thing?" And I said, "Yes." And so he gave it to me, and that was my first Bowie record. It was an advance copy of
Suffragette City. Ron Delson.
Ronnie,
thank you. That's a great song.
And actually, because of that, I did go see his premiere of his Spiders from Mars at Carnegie Hall. Which was a great show.
It was a great band, great show, and like really
Mick Ronson.
And, you know, he meant so much to so many people.
It was a great show, quite frankly.
David Bowie.
In fact, I liked it so much that I pilfered the number. There was a brass number plate on my seat, and quite frankly, yes, I did. I stole it.
So you don't actually like when you're like at home alone. You're not like you don't wear like the lightning bolt makeup. Just like when you're home with your
dresses.
Wife, just put on
a man dress.
It's you know
a man dress.
I wish I looked good in one. I just don't have the body
I
for
think
it.
You,
I used to be a perfect. I used to be a perfect size six.
I think you'd look good. Enough.
Not so much these days.
This is delicious. We have to eat more of this
you
stuff.
You get past the prostate.
I'm going to wait. But what is the... What is
give me that back.
What is this red stuff?
That pepperoni.
That's called pepperoni? And what are they... In Jersey, they put that on their pizzas, right?
Yeah, New Jersey.
And like the frozen pizza, the Red Baron style pizza, right? Frozen.
This is absolutely fantastic.
Tombstone pizzas, they put this shit on it.
Oh, man. My stuff is good.
It is good, actually. Yeah. I'm joking about the pepperoni.
You know? I see you're writhing there in your seat. You're dying to sing a song. I think you should sing a song. Oh, man.
Not yet. Anyway, the people at Oak Street,
not yet.
The not so awkward date table, they're having two pizzas, and there's pepperoni on their pizza, I noticed.
No, that doesn't seem too awkward.
No.
Although she's kind of paying more attention to her phone than she is to her date.
Well, not too bad. He's a nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy. Yeah, she's eating pepperoni. She is eating pepperoni. People love pepperoni.
So what about your porchetta?
Oh, the porchetta. I'm going to tell you something, dude.
You're telling me
that porchetta, the pork toffee, the crackling gets good.
Oh,
you
man.
Put it in the oven.
Ooh.
This porchetta. It comes, you know, pre-rolled by this genius hut in San Francisco, Tomas Odermatt. He's like a third-generation Swiss butcher, very famous for having one of the first famous food trucks out in the parking lot in San Francisco by the ferry building.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The guy made one sandwich for, like, 20 years because he was trying to perfect it.
Right.
Because that's the way you got to do, right? You got to own that thing. Like, 20 years later, he, like, you know, expanded the menu to, like, another sandwich.
Yeah.
That was it, you know? And that was the porchetta sandwich. And the porchetta from our friends at Heritage comes pre-rolled with twine. And it's, I said, the pork belly and this beautiful Heritage pork. And it's just like this cornucopia of pork goodness. And you put it in the oven and you jack the fucking temperature. You put it in there for like 500 degrees until everything gets crackling and the fat is like
pouring out.
And then lower and do like low and slow so you get the middle to like the perfect medium, medium for the pork.
And what do you pair that with? You were just guzzling cow
I find it makes wine taste very good. I find.
Yeah.
We had some pretty spectacular Cabernet from Walla Walla, Washington last night. And also we were toying with a little Chianti that I'm using a little vintage.
Was that Kyle McLaughlin's?
To get started. Kyle McLaughlin has makes wine?
Yeah, in Walla Walla.
Walla Walla.
I didn't know that.
See, and I had to settle.
How's his acting career going?
Well, he just did Twin Peaks.
Oh, right.
You don't have
enough
echo on your voice, Dave. Dave, more echo, please, on your voice.
We need to do a show dedicated to how David Lynch just completely run out of ideas.
Well, that happened, a while ago. Right? This is like the third relaunch of Twin Peaks.
I was a big Twin Peaks fan. I've not gotten around to watching the reboot. But I gotta say I was OG original Twin Peaks fan. Well, it's nice they've got
you wouldn't like the new one then.
They got that on television. To me, that's always like wow, they put that on like primetime TV.
Yeah, they sure say I was watching too. I like that.
I've heard some good things about it. You been watching TV? You watch TV?
We were watching movies. We watched Shape of Water. We were doing an Oscar thing.
Oscar thing.
Yeah, so we watched Shape of Water.
They just happened, right? I hate the fucking Oscars.
I hate them too. But
it's like I don't need to be reminded that there's an aristocracy in this country.
Yeah.
You weren't here when we had the porn star on.
No, I missed
Speaking
the porn
of who's
star.
Won many awards and has made like 400
What's her
times.
Name?
We had Joanna Angel here of Burning
Ooh.
Angel.
Ooh.
And she has made like 400 more movies than Meryl Streep has.
You know what? And probably more interesting. I'm more than one level. You see that? While you're having your porchetta, we had to settle.
Oh, yeah. You're Stop and Shop duck.
Yeah, but okay. You go to Stop and Shop, and they have that Lake Brom from Quebec. It's the duck capital of North America, Lake Brom in Quebec.
The duck capital of North America.
Yes, it sure is. They have a duck festival.
Le Capitale du Canard.
Yeah, yeah. And so they have the Maigret de Canard, which never seems to sell quick enough. And so you go to Stop Shop, and it's vacuum-packed, and it's half price. And so you bet, man. Right on the skillet. You know, you score the fatty side. You hit that for like 4 minutes, burn it down there, and then you flip it over and brown the other side for another four.
Those duck breasts are really like our buddy Patrick at Heritage Joy says, are the ribeye of the sky. David just took off. I think we were
fighting this guy. There
Dave,
he goes. He
ran out.
Just
fled the booth.
He doesn't want to hear about
all right.
duck.
Well, you know what we can do now?
We can play a song.
Run amok.
Run amok. There we go.
I think we should do a song.
What song should we do?
I don't know. I think something like tender.
But this is like a goodbye kind of tune. I don't
know.
Are we ready to say goodbye? Are you ready to introduce the show yet?
We're going to get started anytime. we're running pretty fast on this today, but it's what we do here in Arts and Sciences. By the way,
tell me it's
called. By the way, next week we have the great Simon Chartier is coming to visit us. Simon Chartier is the best guitar player in New York City.
Oh,
without a doubt.
Simon
Bar Sinister. And he's coming back for a repeat performance. I saw Simon and his band, jazz band, the Rooftoppers. You know, Simon, he's so funny because his new record sounds like Minor Threat. I mean, it's just like an absolute old school thrash record. And then I go to see him play, and he's playing bebop.
No, he's amazing.
And it's just astonishing. He is the best guitar player in New York. You know, he lives out in Rockaway. He surfed during like the hurricane.
He's a surfer too.
But he surfs like when everybody else worried about snowpocalypse. He's like, yeah, the waves. And he said the problem though with the storm though, I was talking to him, and this is a pretty good metaphor for a lot of things. He said the next day he says it was low tide. He goes, the waves were 7 feet high, but the water was only 1 foot deep. All right. Because riding that wave seemed like a good idea, but that's how you get hurt.
Yeah, right.
Big
Bam.
Waves, yeah. But no depth.
No, right.
Okay,
bam.
So when take that as a metaphor for whatever you want. And Simon also rides this ridiculous longboard.
David's
that,
back.
That, like, no one, like, you know, since, you know. You know, I mean, it's the size of like a station wagon. I mean, these things are not quite in vogue these days. Simon's old school and the last real man out in Rockaway. So he's coming on next week. And after that, we have our friend Corey Powell, who works with Bill Nye, the science guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a big Fleshtones fan, and he's dying to meet you.
I'm dying to meet him.
All right,
just dying. Okay. As Mick Jagger said, some Puerto Rican girl said he's just dying to meet you.
Not the worst song they've ever done, but it should be fucking embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Possibly.
You know,
it was big at studio, though.
Inappropriate!
Oh, dude. He's getting random in the booth, right?
You know, I mean, I don't want to talk about David, but like, what's amazing about David, too, is like those last records he made were so good.
Are they?
Like the next day.
I haven't heard of it.
I mean, Black Star got more attention because it was sort of like he stage managed his death, and to like watch the video for Lazarus, I mean, I can't watch it without crying. And, you know, he knew what was going on with his body, and he knew what he was leaving behind. But the next day, which he put out the year before on his birthday, no one even knew he recorded it. And it's just like, it's this great record. It belongs like next to Low and Lodger and Heroes. It's really that good. Oh, man.
It goes in the canon of David Bowie's greats.
It's great.
Alongside of The Man Who Sold the World.
You know,
which is a great record.
To make so many records that don't sound the same, but to miss so many consecutively good records. The Stones never did that. Bruce Springsteen never did that. I mean, a run of records, you know, starting with like, if we just start with Ziggy, we can go back to Hunky Dory, but you have a lot to say.
Hunky Dory is a great record.
And then you come to Berlin and you put out these three great records, and it's amazing. And then he was experimental, and God bless him for that, in the 90s. But then to end his career on two very strong avant-garde art statements that are extremely emotionally charged, it's just pretty
Go
pretty
to the incredible. Museum. To Brooklyn Museum until when, Mikey?
I don't fucking know. I'm not chilling for the Brooklyn
this
Museum.
This week,
I'll tell you what.
Instead, I went to the MoMA to see the Club 57 show. Before that closes, because, of course, there's a peripheral references with me and
the Fleshtones.
My mug's on the wall.
That's good. Well, you made it.
I made it. There's some of my work up, unattributed, but up on the wall, which, you know, whatever. That's how. You know what? I invited those two curators to be on the show, and Ron said, oh, good. Have the Arts and Seizures press secretary contact our press secretaries. Yeah. And then I said, okay, forget it. Already two non sequiturs put together there.
We have a better chance of getting David Bowie on the show. Probably less bullshit involved.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's play this song. Is this song by the great Brooke Benton?
I think we should.
A guy very much not getting his due, but... you know?
Well, maybe if you'd put like lightning bolt face paint.
Yeah, that's what he needs, and wear more dashikis and lightning bolt.
You know,
a man dashiki dressed.
To bring it back to professional wrestling,
yes, as you should,
as it should.
When
the Road Warriors came out, when these guys with these painted faces, remember, and this tag team who were like just like. You know, unbeatable. Like there's these monster tag team, and it really changed the business because no one was really doing the painted face gags. And finally, Vince McMahon, he hated it because he didn't think it was
good. I hate it too.
Good. Old school. Why is it suddenly I'm the baby face on the show?
That's it. You know,
you don't play the heel very well.
I'm the heel, baby.
Right,
hey,
let's take it to the ring.
I said you have to come around and regard this. Okay, people at home. You can't say it. He's coming around. He's knocked over his beer on the table. I want that beer. I'm out. It's a disaster. Here we go. Don't worry about it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Let's just play. We'll clean this up.
All right.
Come on. Here we go. Oh, Dave saves the day.
You do Windows?
You do Windows. No, he doesn't do it. People at home, there's. You asked me about the tin can up in the tin can. The tin can. That I'm in says King of Beers. This is a really good Belgian beer. What's it called? Oh, it's called Budweiser. Right? The Belgians own it. Why not? Arts and Seizures, people.
All right, we'll see you next week.
The great Brooke Benton.
Simon Chardy,
this gone by too fast. One, two, three, four. Someday, someway, you realize that you've been blind. Yes, darling,
You're gonna need me again. It's just a matter of time. Go on. Go on. Till you reach the end of the line. And no, you'll need me again. It's just a matter of time. After I gave you everything that I had, you laughed and you called me a clown. But remember, in your quest, a fortune and fling, what goes up must come down. I know that one day you'll wake up and find that my love was the true love. It's just a matter of time.
It's Arts and Seizures with your host, Mike Edison.
Arts and Seizures.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat & 3.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.